All right.
And welcome to New Zealand Podcast. Session six. Oh my God, I can't believe we're up to six already.
I have to blow my nose.
Well, anyways, we've changed venues here today.
Yeah, we have. We're doing this at lunchtime as opposed to after work, just because I'm on a very tight schedule these days.
Johnny Dodge is flying, Nick. Flying the coop.
I'm shooting the crow.
Shooting the gap.
Shooting the New Zealand crow. So I'm going to Ireland for 5 weeks holiday, which is fantastic. Can't wait. But I'm a very busy man. I've got my pilot's license this Saturday morning.
And you fly? When do you fly out?
I fly out on Sunday.
Last minute.
So cutting it pretty close. I don't know why I'm doing this to myself. Plus, I've got a heap of other work that I'm doing. Work and then some private little money makers as well, which I'm far from getting done. Plus, I'm doing a gig on Friday.
You're doing
night.
A gig?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know about that.
With my band.
Really?
Yeah. I practiced last night. It sounded shit.
Where are you guys?
It's a private gig, so you can't
come. Oh, man.
Damn. Well, if you really want to come, you can come. But I mean, it's basically a friend of mine's birthday, and it's going to be in our house. It's like a surprise.
Sweet.
But yeah, so we're going to play about. It's not going to be a full gig or anything. We're going to play about maybe 5 or 6 songs. But yeah.
You've been holding out on me, Johnny Dodge.
I thought I told you that.
No.
Yeah, well.
Anyways.
Anyways, moving along.
We got
Where are we today? Oh,
today we're at Pegasus Arms outside in the patio. Maybe you can hear every once in a while some cars racing by.
But yeah, and it's actually quite sunny.
It is quite sunny.
Do you know how hot it is?
I don't.
15 degrees.
Is it really?
Yeah.
That's why you're in your shorts.
Of course, a lot of Kiwis don't really take the weather into account when they're dressing.
Nah, it's shorts and jandals all year round.
Yeah, absolutely. It's insane, isn't it? I mean, this morning there was a frost on the ground. It's cold. It's still winter. We're in the middle of winter. It's still cold in the mornings. You know, it's like 0 degrees. But then it warms up an awful lot. But yeah, people are still walking around in shorts, you know, as if, you know, nothing's wrong. And not just the blokes, the women and children as well.
I'm surprised, actually. I sometimes see these little kids, you know, riding to school or walking to school in the morning in, like you said, frost. Yeah. And they're wearing just like shorts.
I mean, you're wearing thermals, and jeans on top of that, and like you're still freezing your tits off.
Yeah.
No, these kids don't give a shit. It's a real Kiwi thing.
It's a Kiwi mentality.
That's what it seems to be believed. You probably think we're exaggerating, but it's incredible.
See if we can get some shots on. You know, we'll get some photos.
Yeah, yeah. The best picture would be like just taking a picture of snow and then people walking around in shorts in the snow as if nothing is wrong. It's just. What the fuck?
They'll be looking at you. Why are you taking a picture?
Oh, my God.
Snow?
Well, listen, today we're going to talk about my impending departure and what that means to me, personally. We decided to make it a little bit more personal. We're going to talk about our usual New Zealand stories, some crazy stories to share with you. And we're going to finish off with some Kiwi music. It's a little bit different this week, again. But basically, this is a Kiwi band that plays Irish traditional music, I suppose is the best way to describe it. Or Irish folk music, maybe some of you know. Or Diddley D music, some other people might know it. And these guys have been around for a while. They wouldn't be particularly famous in New Zealand.
Oh, they tour around New Zealand.
Yeah, they'd be well known within the traditional music scene, I suppose. Yeah, but there's a lot of Kiwi.
I've actually seen them live, have you?
I haven't, no, actually. No, I've only heard the CDs.
Yeah. No, it's good.
A friend of mine had them play at their wedding. Apparently, they went down very well. They're definitely up there in terms of talent. I mean, you get a lot of
bands. The Hobnail Boots is what we're talking about.
The Hobnail Boots is what they're called. We will talk about. You get to hear them at the end. But yeah, we're gonna play a song from them. That's, I suppose, in some way
fitting almost.
Fitting
this,
the
this
current
episode,
situation.
This session. Yeah.
So I suppose the other thing that goes along with that is this will be the last podcast for a while.
A little bit. Unless we can sort out something.
Unless we can do Skype. We might work out a Skype. It'll have to be free internet phone calls. So we might get that up at some point. Shifty Rob will have to track me down in Ireland. That's a problem.
Calling every pub.
Oh, yeah, there's only about 1 million of them. But yeah, we'll see what happens. But
not to worry if we're not back in a short time. We will be back.
We will be back for sure.
Yeah, definitely. When I come back, I'll be talking, telling everybody about what happened to me in Ireland.
Talking your usual smack.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, basically, what is NZ Pubcast all about, Rob?
NZ Pubcast?
Well, for the people who have never heard us before,
for the you that are tuning in for the first time, NZ Pubcast is exactly what it says. It's two guys sitting in a pub and doing a podcast.
Yeah. We're just talking shit. I mean, basically, I think we'd be blogging this. We'd be just blogging, but we're just far too lazy to write down anything. So talking is much easier. So that's why we're doing this.
Basically, just coming down to what we've noticed in New Zealand, the quirks and the quirks, and how we've adjusted as being foreigners moving to this country.
Exactly.
I mean, it is a great country, but there are a lot of quirks and quirks.
That nobody told us about, God damn it.
And so we're here to tell you.
So if you're thinking of coming to New Zealand for vacation or on your holidays, or if you're even thinking of leaving the country and coming somewhere else,
you should listen to NZ Pubcast.
You should listen to us. And yeah, we'll hopefully tell you something you didn't know before. Okay.
Good or bad.
If we can do that, then we're doing our jobs. Okay, so first off, we're going to talk about some New Zealand stories. These are just stories that you probably didn't hear on your local news. Obviously, they're just related to New Zealand. So first we got here is there was a British survey, a tourist survey done. And New Zealand was rated one of the riskiest spots in the world for theft and car crashes.
See, in some respects, that really surprises me. Like, coming from Canada where the roads are wide, you can fit 3-4 cars wide on the roads, to coming here and you got single roads. I mean, we've talked about this before. I see, understand.
I'll tell you where New Zealand actually came in. Okay, basically New Zealand had the fourth highest number of claims for theft. Okay, claims as in insurance claims for theft after Thailand, Africa, and the Caribbean. So that is surprising. Yeah. But maybe that's just because everybody that comes here and, you know, their hub cap falls off, they just claim on insurance. but it kind of does give the wrong idea about New Zealand. I mean, New Zealand, okay, I lived in Dublin before I lived here. Dublin is, to me, a very, you know, crime-ridden place. I was burgled twice there when I was living there. I was living there for like 7 years. And burgled twice. One time, walked into my bedroom and saw a scumbag going through my drawers. I had to fight this fucker in my own house.
Shit.
It was insane. It was unbelievable. But, you know... New Zealand is, well, Christchurch, where we are, we're in the South Island of New Zealand, virtually crime-free, I would say. I mean, when I say virtually, I mean, stuff does happen here. People do get robbed and all of that, but I mean, compared to Dublin or any, you know, and even anywhere in Ireland, it's pretty crime-free.
Yeah, it seems like there's nothing going on, so I was actually quite surprised to see how high up the list that it was.
Yep. What I have a sneaking feeling, though, is that... the whole driving thing here is should be noted. I suppose because of the remoteness of New Zealand, they kind of tend to drive their own special way.
You just go with the flow. It's cruisy. The whole lifestyle is cruisy.
It's very cruisy, and
it pushes right on to the
into the driving.
Yeah, definitely.
So things like indicating, totally optional.
Oh, it's when you want.
Yeah, if you feel like indicating, yeah. But if you don't worry.
Yeah,
it's okay.
It's cool. Because cars will just cruise around you anyways.
Yep.
Inside, outside. It
absolutely. Tailgating is a national pastime.
Yeah, it's actually encouraged.
Yeah. Especially on mountainous roads.
The other neat thing is the actual licensing. To sit down for your licensing here is a little different. You actually do a scratch, almost like a scratch and win test, which I thought was pretty neat. I didn't have to get my license right away coming from Canada.
Yep.
You know, it was...
I think they do. I did them on a computer.
Did you?
Yeah.
Because I walked into the thing there and they said, okay, well, you pay your $80 and you sit down and you get this piece of paper where it asks you a question and then there's four dots and you can just...
Like scratch and win?
You scratch and win. If you scratch it off and there's a check mark, you go on to the next question. You only get four on. So
when it's out, it's always B.
It was really odd to have this scratch and win. So at the end of it, I won my license.
Yay.
Plus
a meal for two at Pizza Hut.
Well, they give you this book that you can study with, and it has the exact questions in it too.
Oh yeah.
So there's four different scratch and win tests, and if you know you don't get the first one, you can bet you won't get the next one next time. And they're the exact same questions of the book. It's weird.
Each one?
It's weird.
Ah, well, yeah.
Basically, what I was going to say with that is that it's really easy to get your license.
Yeah, no, I think it is, yeah. It's not too bad. It's not too bad. But I think that what I think, I'm not sure, I can't be 100% on this, but I mean, I think there's a lot of drivers here that are old. A lot of old people in New Zealand.
Country drivers?
Yeah.
Because the whole country is country?
A lot of times I've been nearly killed. It's been by somebody that at least in their 80s. You know what I mean? You know, they can barely see over the steering wheel and they're just oblivious to any other traffic. Yeah, it's funny. So I'm not sure if those guys would have actually done a test. I think they would have bought their license in the post office. I mean, that's the way it was in Ireland. But Ireland isn't much better. You do tend to get a lot of, shunting, just small damage just from people flying into the back of you or people just turning in front of you. And yeah, no, so I think a lot of the crashes, I say that's probably, if we say theft and crashes, I think it's probably more for crashes. But New Zealand is not a dangerous place to come to.
It's not at all.
It's probably definitely in the safest, one of the safest places I've ever been. I think it's crazy that it's up there with Thailand, Africa, and the Caribbean. But I think that's just because a lot of them, it's a British survey.
It's a British survey. Yeah.
So, I mean, maybe a lot of British people come to New Zealand and have little accidents and claim their insurance. So we'll leave it there. One of the other things in the survey was that Ireland was actually the safest place to go to in the world. It was voted the safest, followed by, who do you think came second?
I would have said, probably somewhere nearby.
Belgium.
Belgium.
The Netherlands. The Netherlands is funny because I think the Netherlands is actually, well, Amsterdam is a dodgy place, especially, you know, after dark. It can be a bit hairy. And Germany and France. Again, I think France is pretty dangerous as well. In the countryside, it's safe enough, but once you're in the cities, it can be pretty hairy. There's a lot of dodgy people walking around the place.
Yeah, no, it's surprising results from that because living here, you wouldn't expect New Zealand to rate even in the top 10, top 20, anything like that. It feels safe. You can drive around.
Yeah, I mean, I cycle to work every day. Leave my bike chained up. I leave my lights on the bike. So nobody has even robbed my, I don't, saying that now, someone's going to rob my bike today. But I've never had a light even robbed. You know what I mean? I mean, in Dublin, you can't leave your bike anywhere if it's a half decent bike. It'll just get robbed. You know what I mean? It doesn't matter how many chains you use. I mean, you know, there's professional bike robbers in Dublin, you know, and all they do all day is rob bikes.
One of my mates here, he's got this little van and he doesn't lock it. He's like, she doesn't need to be locked. It's fine. And he lives in her city, too.
I mean, a friend of mine lives in town. He needs his front door open all the time. Right. Went to his house last night, knocked on the door, no answer. So I rang him and said, hey, answer your door. And he goes, hey, just come in. It's not even locked. And he lives in the middle of town. You know what I mean? So, yeah, it's one of those places that, you know, when old people talk about the days when you could leave your door open.
It's in New Zealand
still. It's still in New Zealand, yeah. Yeah, it's incredible. So anyway, we'll move on.
Next thing we're going to talk about was revisit the whole prostitution thing here.
Yeah, if you listen to previous podcasts, we talked about legalization of the brothels, which has had mixed results as well as in New Zealand. Well, it's been very successful, but there has been a lot of issues
that have come out of it.
Absolutely, yeah. Well, one of the things that have come out of it is.
Well, up in Auckland, actually, there was a police officer who was moonlighting as a prostitute as well, which I think is hilarious. She was able to keep her job and everything just because, it's going under review, but they basically said, yeah, we hadn't okayed or signed off on her extra income, but they were reviewing it, and it's no problem.
The thing that cracks me up about this is that she wasn't, I mean, most countries in the world, she would have been kicked off the force immediately. Like, you know, no questions asked, just even, you know, having been caught. I mean, she was doing this to make extra money, basically. And apparently you can make
a
lot of extra money.
You make decent cash.
You can make some good cash. Like, you can make, you know, quite a big chunk of cash in a few hours.
They were saying, like on a good night, like on Friday night or something, you can make $500.
Wow.
Stay home.
That's about 100 US. But, apparently a lot of professionals do it. Either lawyers, doctors.
Yeah.
It's not uncommon.
It's just amazing. It's mind-boggling. But that's something that's come out of this. It's legal. people can do it. They need some fast cash.
Yeah. And in the case of the police, woman, it was a police woman. Yeah, she, when the press went to town with it, I suppose as they do, the police force just issued a statement saying pretty much, well, we're kind of regret that she didn't tell us about it. And I mean, if we'd known that she was that stuff for money, maybe we could have given her a bit more support. You know, they seemed like it would hurt the fact that they didn't know more than the fact that she was, you know,
actually partaking in this.
Working as a sex worker, yeah. Mm.
It's unbelievable. But I think that's probably got to fall in the category of only in New Zealand.
Only in New Zealand, definitely.
That's only in New Zealand. Do you find you can either get frisked by your policewoman during the day and then, you know, go for a visit later in the night?
I mean, a lot of prostitutes dress as policewomen. Well, I suppose that's more of a stripper thing.
Yeah, that's more a stripper.
But yeah, I mean, you know, where else in the world? But I'm sure maybe there is other countries where it's quite common. But I mean, they say, you know, if you're not paying your police people enough, you know, you're leading to kind of a corrupt society. You know, I suppose there has been corruption scandals in, you know, New Zealand involving the police, but not to the same extent as other countries. I mean. Yeah. But I mean, this goes to show, I mean, you know, she could have maybe turned corrupt or something, but instead decided to, you know, just be a sex worker. Yeah. But the thing you have to understand is a lot of prostitutes do it because they like it. You know, it's not always a case of people doing it because they have to.
Just needing the money.
Exactly. Yeah. And maybe she just enjoys having sex.
Could be.
You know, if you enjoy something, you should always, you know, do something you enjoy for a living.
Well, there you go. To all you you people out there who just really enjoy things, sex being one of them, move to New Zealand.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's a bit harder if you're a bloke, but I'm sure there's markets out there that you can cater for.
Right.
If you have any comments on that, send us an email, nzpodcast@gmail.com.
You're not doing your voice anymore.
Oh, no. Okay.
nzpodcast@gmail.com.
Goddamn car alarm.
Car alarms, that's the problems with patios, isn't it?
It won't last. It'll be off soon. I'm sure.
Oh, that's a particularly annoying one, isn't it?
That is annoying.
Anyways, moving swiftly along, as Joni Dodge would say, we're the other story that we're going to talk about here is a neat little thing.
Fuck's sake.
Holy shit.
That never happens. Usually it gets shut down straight away. Oh, there you go.
There you go. Good stuff. Nothing gets edited on NZ Podcast.
Even shit like that. Yes. Okay. That's how professional we are, or we ain't.
whatever you want.
Okay, so the hitching scheme.
It's quite a neat little solution, so to speak, to the traffic problems in Wellington, that's the capital city of New Zealand, North Island, south of the North Island.
Yep.
Terrible traffic problems. Probably not quite as bad as Auckland, but they've come up with quite a neat scheme on getting around, more than just carpooling, I'd say.
Yeah, well, I mean, if you ever, I mean, it's the same in pretty much any city, where you have all this traffic on the roads and one fucking person in each car. What the fuck? It's so stupid. It's like, it's insane. Now, I mean, other cities have carpooling, but this is like it's taking it
to the next step.
It's doing the New Zealand version of carpooling, basically. I mean, instead of actually organizing a carpool, it's a bit more improvised, I suppose. So they've set up a hitching stations.
They shove a stick on the side of the road and paint it a certain color, where people can stand by and hitchhike.
Yeah. And so if you're driving along and you feel like some company and you're going to work, you can pick somebody up. And
it's quite a neat idea, but as you said, it's New Zealand's take on carpooling.
Ooh. Well, I mean, hitching isn't a really big thing in New Zealand. I mean, you know, you can come to New Zealand and hitch, for sure. I mean, lots of travelers do it. Lots of backpackers do it. But it's not that common, really. You know, it's not as common as, say, well, I mean... Ireland seems to be, or the UK seems to have a lot more hitches. Even Europe, you know, there's always people, you know, hitching. But New Zealand's. I mean, even in some of the guidebooks, it actually tells you not to bother hitching here because you will not be picked up.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
You just got the sparse traffic in some of the remote areas that it's.
Well, that's it. Exactly.
Not going to get
exactly.
There.
And I mean, I think what a lot of people do that basically want to come to New Zealand by themselves Instead of you know, having to hire a van or buy a van or whatever, what a lot of people do, they buy a camper van and travel around. They just basically hang out at a youth hostel and wait until somebody is basically going to some place they're going to and catch up with them.
Yeah. But this this hitch and ride scheme is more for the business or urban centers. So you're driving in from maybe one of the suburbs or out just outside the city center, and you can stand by these painted posts,
yeah,
and people can come by and pick you up.
Passengers are encouraged to give a gold coin donation.
Well, a gold coin here is a $1 or a $2 coin.
Yeah.
So it's yeah.
That'll be $1 then.
$1. Well, it's not in, you know, the scheme is set up just to really try and ease these problems and make it a solution that's viable for almost anybody.
Exactly. And I mean, they said as well that the areas that are doing this are kind of areas that are noted for their total
safety.
Lack of crime.
Yeah. So not according to that British survey.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there has actually been hitchhiker murders in New Zealand. There was a pretty big case there. A German girl was hitchhiking around the North Island.
Oh, that was last year.
Yeah. They caught the guy that did it. But yeah, I mean, it doesn't exactly encourage people to kind of, you know, stick their tongue out.
Well, it's not like they didn't think about the safety here. They also said, you know, if people are feeling uneasy about it, then just, you know, just don't pick the person up. Also, they also said, you know, it's more in the business hours and when there's lots
of
traffic.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's not like the scheme is going to be running at 3 a.m.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I mean, they kind of noted that as well. It'd just be kind of just within business hours. I mean, they don't want people using it at 3 o'clock in the morning. That might be considered a bit dodge.
Not Johnny Dodge.
No, just Dodge. But I think that's another kind of only in New Zealand. I mean, I don't think you'd get that really anywhere else, really, would you?
We're having traffic problems. I know. Let's hitchhike.
Let's make everybody hitchhike. That's what they're saying, basically.
Yeah.
So, you know, screw the bus, screw, you know, carpools. Just get
screw
out your
the light transit.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, I think, you know, if there's a scheme like that, that's all Kiwis kind of need is just a bit of, you know, justification for it. I mean, there's no law here against hitchhiking. I mean, I don't know, what's it like in Canada? Is it like...
I think it's you can't hitchhike within city limits in Canada.
Right.
Correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah, I know in the States they're pretty strict. Some places you just can't. You're not allowed to hitchhike. It's actually against the law. And so against the law to pick up people as well? Well...
Shit, I don't know.
Yeah, I think it is.
We'll go with that.
Yeah, no, I think it was in that film with Ben Stiller where he was picked up and he thought he was being arrested for picking up a hitchhiker, but the cops were like, you know, arresting him for, you know, serial. They thought he was a serial killer.
Oh, Something About Mary, I think. Wasn't it?
Something About Mary?
I think so.
It could have been, yeah. It's very funny. It's very well done. Oh, yeah, and he had to go to jail and he was somebody's honey for a while. Okay.
Somebody's honey.
Lovely. Oh, yeah. It's funny film.
Anyways, last week we also talked about reasons why you should not move to New Zealand. The things that you won't find in the brochures.
And we will be back with some more.
We'll be back
with some more reasons not to come to New Zealand. But this week we're going to obviously talk about reasons why you should move here. I mean, basically, just bring it up personally. I mean, I met a Kiwi girl in Dublin. Never had any intention of moving to New Zealand in my life. Just never occurred to me. I always wanted to come here, maybe on a holiday, but never, you know, never would have considered coming here for a long time. Basically, we were together for a year and a half in Dublin, and her visa ran out. She did stay a bit longer, working at a table illegally.
Ooh.
Yeah. Eventually she was working just in retail jobs, under the counter jobs, and she wasn't really enjoying it really anymore, so she said, screw this, I'm off home. And basically, I had the choice of either saying goodbye there or following her over here. Now I was getting a bit kind of sick of Dublin at that stage anyway. I've been there for like 7 years. Been working the same job for like 3 years. And I was happy enough, I suppose, but I was kind of just bored as well. It was just, you know, you stay in one place for too long. It kind of tends to bring you down a bit.
Time to go.
Yeah, it's time to go. Well, it was time to just try something new, basically. So I said, screw it, I'll go out to New Zealand for a year. It's pretty easy to get a one-year visa, depending on what country you're from.
The Commonwealth is pretty easy, though.
I think it is. I think it's a bit more difficult for Americans. But I mean, I think it's very easy for an American to get a holiday visa.
Oh, for sure.
You know, that's just kind of a given. All you need is a plane ticket. But basically, the visas that we could get was like a year-long visa, and you can work part-time, but you can't work full-time. That was the condition of the visa. It's like a working holiday visa. And I think you can only get it if you're under 32, I think, or maybe under 30.
Sure. Maybe it's under 30.
But it was really easy to get. Just had to send off my passport to the London Embassy, and it cost me like €100. And got it back in a couple of weeks, and yeah, came out here. And I just really liked it. It was really, really different.
Did you come straight to Christchurch?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. Just flew directly from Dublin to Christchurch.
Straight flight.
Yeah, pretty much. I'm doing the same thing then this Sunday. But yeah, I was surprised. I mean, I had a few friends that were over here at the time that were holidaying, just doing the whole camper van tour around New Zealand. So, you know, it was a lot easier, I suppose, just to feel that I wasn't too far from home. It's an English-speaking country. That makes it a lot easier if you're an English speaker, obviously. And then, yep, started working. Had to work a few shitty different jobs. I think if I hadn't got the job that I'm doing now, I probably would have left. But I got a good job that I'm happy in. Stayed. I also started doing my flying, trying to get my pilot's license.
You're getting it.
I'm gonna get it. Hopefully on Saturday. Got my test. Shit. I don't want to think about it. Actually, I start panicking. it'll be okay. Well, so the point of it is that I think New Zealand is really, really a great place to move to and to live, but only in the kind of condition that you kind of have a serious hobby that you can kind of engage in quite happily here. I mean, there's a lot of things you can do in New Zealand quite easily. You know, really everything is a lot more accessible, much more so than in most other countries. And so for me, it's flying. I've got another friend of mine from Ireland. He got into mountain climbing when he was holidaying in South America, and then came over here and went, whoa, there's some fucking great mountains in New Zealand. I mean, the mountains here, you know, look at Lord of the Rings. Those mountains are an hour's drive basically from here. You know, so he could do that. People are into skiing, snowboarding, water
surfing,
sports, whatever. Yeah,
everything.
It just has everything.
It's an outdoor playground.
Yeah,
it is.
Yeah,
New Zealand.
Anything you can think of, really.
I think another good reason why you'd actually want to move here as well is if you're a young entrepreneur. I think it's really, really quite easy to start up a business here in New Zealand.
Yeah.
All you need is like $5 and an idea, and you can get a business off the ground.
And it's quite easy to get business loans. And,
yeah, it's not a lot of bureaucracy either, red tape.
Yeah.
Stuff that's gonna.
I mean, they're actively trying to encourage people to start their own businesses.
Yeah, so it's a great spot, and I mean, the economy is doing really well. And so
apparently.
If you do want to, you know, if you're looking to get into a business, or you know, and you want to have that work life balance, whatever, so you can do your hobby.
Well, that's it, exactly.
Perfect spot.
I mean, you know, standard hours are pretty much standard as other places. We shortly be getting 4 weeks holiday, which are like compulsory, you know, so the employer has to give them to you. At the moment, it's 3.
Which is better than Canada. Canada starts out at 2.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
Jeez, that sucks.
Yeah.
I think in America, it's the same, I think, is it? Two weeks?
I think so. Yeah. I think so.
I mean, a friend of mine worked for IBM in New York, and he said that, you know, you get your 2 weeks, but you're actively encouraged not to take your 2 weeks, which I thought was a bit fucking mean.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, you get a lot more free time, basically. You're not expected to work at weekends. If you do work at weekends, you do get paid good overtime.
Yeah, especially the public holidays as well.
Mm.
I mean, if you work them, you'll get...
Yeah, by law, you have to be paid more.
Paid more and another day in lieu.
That's right, yeah.
So it's really about living, not just business.
Exactly.
But, that being said, if you do want to start a business, easy to do here. Easy to do.
I mean, what I would recommend anybody thinking about it is come out here on holiday. I mean, it is an expensive plane ticket, but believe you me, you won't regret it. I mean, I remember I was up at the airport there a few weeks ago saying goodbye to some people. I remember that really bad spate of weather we had.
Oh, yeah.
And there was an American couple. Well, I was having a cigarette outside the door, and I was chatting to this American girl who had just spent the last 3 weeks in New Zealand. And I had like the worst weather, you know, we had snowstorms.
In like 60 years.
It was the worst winter we'd had for a long time. Yeah, it was a record breaker.
And she was there on her honeymoon. Okay, so she'd flown in from, she was from East Coast somewhere. And so, you know, a pretty long plane journey. But she said she still had a great time. You know, so I think that says a lot, really. Yeah, absolutely. I mean,
the weather can be shit, but you can still have a good time.
You can still have a good time. Yeah, I mean, I don't think New Zealand is that weather dependent. I mean, same. I mean, my parents were over here last Christmas, and yeah, the weather was touch and go, but they still loved it. You know, they still said it was the best holiday they'd ever had in their entire lives. So yeah, so come over here, spend some time, get a feel for the place, and then maybe think about moving.
Yeah, I think that's what says it. Great place to live. Great place to live. There's lots of good things.
Now, next week, reasons why you shouldn't move back here.
Next week, next session. Not sure if it's Skyped or what or how's it
going. Well, yeah, it won't be next week, but next time, yeah, we'll definitely be back with some reasons why not to move to New Zealand.
Probably have a pretty good look at seeing you go back to Ireland for a bit, so you'll...
Yeah, well, it'll be good to just have a, you know, compare and contrast the kind of the two things. But I'll be in Ireland on my holidays. It's the first time I've ever... I mean, it's going to be so weird going to Ireland on my holidays. You know, usually I go back to live or, you know, because that's where I've always lived kind of thing. But yeah, so it'd be strange. I can see Ireland from the head of tourist season. So yeah, I think Ireland's a complete rip-off, overpriced. I think the people are nasty. But that's just me. A lot of people go there and have a great time.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Okay, so...
okay, as we promised, we're going to leave this session tonight with the Hobnail Boots.
Yeah, so...
What song are we going to play here?
It's A Thousand Goodbyes.
A Thousand Goodbyes.
It's like A Thousand Hellos is like A Thousand Goodbyes, I think.
There we go.
Something like that.
Hobnail Boots, check out their website. You can link it on our blog at nzpubcast.blogspot.com.
Yeah, we'll stick up some more information about some of the stories that we were talking about this week. And yeah, thanks guys for listening. Thanks for our new subscribers. Yeah, if you want to comment, drop us a line, or you can comment on the blog. And yeah,
or email us.
You can email us at the address stated earlier. I'm not gonna do that again. I can't be arsed. Okay, so on with Hobnail Boots, and we will see you hopefully in the next couple of weeks.
All right, cheers.
Take care, guys.
Spent all my life just carrying on, and for every right thing I've done, 10 have been wrong. It's not that I'm bragging for the sake of a song. Life looks much better in perspective. Your eyes look at me from near and from far, 10,000 miles and you're still where you are. Another brass railing, another old bar, better at dreaming than living. And for every low, there's a thousand goodbyes. Leaving is harder when I look in your eyes. Got to believe me, I'm not telling lies. For every low, there's a thousand. On changing for better or worse, rhyming is harder with every new verse. And to say that I love you sounds way too perverse, 'cause I'm getting on that bus in the morning. And for every hello, there's a thousand goodbyes. Leaving is harder. Give it.